Line, Tongarabon. Tongarabonon Avodim the Shvachis Ein Oimdim Alehem Bushura. When a slave or a maidservant pass away, we do not stand at the Levaya as a Shura. What's a Shura? Says Rashi. When they would return from the graveyard, they would make two lines, saviv ha'ovel, around the mourner, umenachamin oisoi, and would comfort him. Ve'ein shura psucha me'asor. This row has to be done minimum of 10 people. It is not, however, done for an eved. If we ever have to be, unfortunately, at a levaya, we will know that, of course, after the levaya has finished, after the kavura, then two rows on either side are made of the people present at the levaya. The avelim walk through, and everybody wishes them hamukim yinachim eschem. This is not done for an eved or for a shivcha. We'll soon see why. That's what it means in the Gemara. Ein oimdim aleihem b'shura. Says the Gemara, ve'ein oimrim aleihem, and neither would you say for them, birkas aveilim. What does that mean, the bracha of aveilim? Which bracha do aveilim make, says Rashi? Birkas aveilim. Bracha, birkas rechovo. Shemavrin oisoi suuda rishoino mishel achelim. The halacha is, we, Ezras Hashem, should not need to know about this, but after the levaya, the first suuda, the first meal provided for the avelim, is not provided for by the ovel himself, but rather it is made, prepared by somebody else. The reasons we're not going to get involved in, but that's called the Su'udas Havra'ah. That's called the Su'udas Havra'ah. So what we're learning over here is, when you have that Su'udas Havra'ah, that's what Rashi's teaching us. And Rashi says, Umavarchin Sham Birkas Avelim. And they would, at this Sudas Havra'ah, they would make a special bracha called Birkas Avelim, the Himufureshes Biksubas Perik Rishen. For further details, says Rashi, see Ksubas, the first Perik, and you'll see details there. If I'm not mistaken, this is not the Minhag nowadays. It is to offer the Suda, but not to make the bracha. But either way, this bracha, which is called the Bracha of Avelim, it too is not made following the patira of an eved or a shifcha. Back into the Gemara. The tanchumei aveilim. And neither do you have tanchumim. You would not comfort the owner of the eved or the shifcha in a way that you would if chas v'shalom, a family member, passed away. So we're being taught three halachas. When an eved or a shifcha passes away, there is no shura in the Beis HaKvaras, there is no Suda Savra, and there is no Tanchumim. As we discussed yesterday, the status of an Eved is a very bizarre one. Essentially, he's not Jewish, but nonetheless, he is obligated to do the mitzvahs, at least the ones that a woman is obligated to keep. Now, before we continue, look at the bottom Tosfos. Ein oimdim aleihen b'shura. So Tosfos says four very important words. Why not? Who in the world cares whether you do or don't do this shura? Maybe you're not obligated, but ein oimdim doesn't sound like you're not obligated to do so. It sounds like that one should not do so. How can there possibly be an issa? Which issa is it to have the rows of comforters for the owner of the eved? After all, even though he's a goy, But it might well be the case that the owner is very upset to have lost the services of his Eved. So why would he not need to be comforted? And even if you say there's no obligation, but why would there be an Issa? So Tosfos says, Dilma Osi La'asuki La'yuchsin. Because maybe you will come, Osi, you will come La'asuki. What does La'asuki mean? La'asuki literally means to lift up, to elevate. For Yuchsin. What is Yuchsin? Lineage. We have, it's an entire perek at the end of Kiddushin, many principles of Yuchsin. Yuchsin means, how do we know who is and who isn't a Jew? We would never want to do anything that would give the impression that someone is a Jew when in fact he isn't. Because that might elevate him to Yuchsin lineage, meaning, imagine if you'd have these rows of Avelim, which is something specifically done for Jews, then people will come to say, oh, well, apparently this person who passed away must have had impeccable lineage. And people will say he's a Jew, and therefore his children are Jewish. And can you imagine what type of tragic circumstances that could bring about? People will marry their children thinking they're Jewish when in fact they're not.
Is he being buried in a Jewish cemetery?
Not sure.
Because if it was, that would give that would mean that also.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure why Chazal chose some halachas and others not. But either way, we have to be extremely careful not therefore to give the erroneous impression that somebody is a Jew when in fact he's not. So therefore, it's not just an issue of not being mechuyev to do the shura, but actually there's an issa. Why? Says Tanya, says Dilma Osi La Asuki La Yosin, because otherwise you might elevate him to lineage status and you'll say, apparently he comes from good stock, he must be Jewish. Says the Gemara, third line, Maisa Umesa Shivchosoi Shal Rebbe. There was a story in which the maidservant of Rebbe passed away. Of Rabbi Eliezer. The maidservant of Rabbi Eliezer passed away. Nichnasu Talmidov Lenachamoy. Strangely enough, the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer came to comfort him. They thought that probably he's very upset at the loss of his trusted and loyal maidservant, and he would want to be comforted. So indeed, they came into his house to offer him their consolations, condolences. Kiven shiro'o oisom. So when he saw them, he wanted to avoid them. Because as we've just learned, you're not supposed to offer tanchumim over the patira of a shivcha, and that's exactly what they were doing. So he tried to avoid them. How so? Kiven shiro oisom olo la'aliyah. So he went up into his attic. He thought maybe he'd hide there and they wouldn't follow him. It didn't help. Va'alu acharov. And they went up following him. So he tried to hide even more. Nichnas la'ampiloin. What's nichnas la'ampiloin? He enters, says Rashi. Bayis kotem, some small room. Shelifnei traklin hagodol, before a larger hall. It didn't help. Nichnasu acharov, says the Gemara. Again, they entered following the attic. Then came some small room. They entered him again. He tried to again avoid them. Nichnas lutraklim. So he then entered the hall. From the attic to the room to the hall. And they still didn't get the hint. Nichnasu acharov. And once again, they entered. After him, once he went in, so did they. So eventually he had enough. Omar Lohem, so he said to them, Kimaduma Ani, it would seem to me, Sha'atom Nichvim Bapoishrim, Achshav iatem nichvim afilu b'chamei chamin. I would have thought, it would have appeared to me that you would be scalded, the poishrim meaning warm water. And now I see that you're not even scalded with boiling hot water. So what was that being a remez? I would have thought that warm water would do the trick. I see that even hot water doesn't do it. I would have thought that when I entered the first room and I ran away from you, you would get the hint that you're not supposed to be giving me tanchumim. I ran away, you followed me. I ran away and you followed me. I see that even when it's become so clear, you still don't seem to get the hint. Loi, kach, shamisi, lochem. Didn't I teach you the following? Quote, unquote. Avodim v'shvochais, ein oimdim aleim v'shura, v'ein oimdim aleim birkas aveizim, v'loi tanchumei aveilim. Quote, unquote. So didn't I teach you this? Why are you continuously running after me? I would have thought, if not the first time, at least the second. If not the second, at least the third. I would have thought that you got the hint. Says Rashi. Nichvim poishrim kloima. What that means to say, obviously it's all metaphoric. Sabur hayisi. I would have thought. Shetovinu, that you would understand. Dovar beremez muot. I would have thought that you would understand this matter even with a minimal hint. Shera'isem oisi, when you would have seen me, sor, back off, me'aleichem, from you, likone islam piloin. So even before entering the large hall, I would have thought that at the earlier stage, you would have got the hint, and apparently you didn't. And that's what he was complaining. Don't you know the halacha? I myself have taught you that you don't offer tanchumim over an eved and a shivchos. Why are you doing the exact case? Why are you doing that? Says the Gemara, so if that's what you don't do, so what can you say? Somebody's eved and shivchos just passed away, so you just totally ignore him, you don't make any comment at all? Says the Gemara, hello. What you can say is as follows. Ma oimrim aleihem. So what can you say about them? The answer is, you say as follows. G'shem sh'oimrim loy la'odom al shoyroi v'al chamoyroi shemesu. Says the Gemara, to be perfectly honest, we do not view this any differently to the way that we would view somebody who lost his donkey or his ox. If chas v'shalom, if we would dealing with a Jew who passed away, and obviously there's no comparison there at all. Somebody lost their donkey, that's a shame. Somebody lost, chas v'shalom, a family member, it's a nedoyme. But if you lose an eved or a shivcha, then that's a piece of property. It's an asset. And therefore, says the Gemara, k'shem sh'oimrim lo'i la'odam al-shevar ha'chamoyre shemei. So what do you say? You say the following words, quote, unquote, Hamokoim yemale lecha chesreincha. Those four words, quote unquote. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should replenish your deficiency. I was sorry to hear that your donkey passed away. Better luck next time. I hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu replaces it and you'll get another one. And that's that. So too, kach oimrim loy al avodoy v'al shivchosoy. So too you say about the Eved and the Shivcha, don't get over dramatic or over emotional. Rather, Hamokoin Yemale Lecha Chesreincha. Kadosh Baruch Hu should fill your chesaron. I was very upset to hear that your trusted maidservant or slave passed away. I hope you find another one. Kadosh Baruch Hu should provide you with another one. And that's it.
Can we say the same thing with respect to Tavi? Because Tavi was a Talmud Chacham.
Right, so let's have a look. That's the next braisa. Tanya Eidach, so we have another braisa that says, Avodim v'shvachais, ein maspidin oisom. When it comes to an eved or a shivcha, you do not say a hesped for them. But Rabbi Yossi, im eved kosher hu. If he indeed is an eved kosher, he's a pious person. Then, oimrim olav, then you may say the following, quote, unquote. Hoy, what does hoy mean? Hoy is like the word woe. Rashi says two words, three words. Loshen genicha v'tza'oka. It's a loshen of wailing and screaming. Genicha is a wail, W-A-I-L, v'tza'oka and a scream. So you may indeed lament, hoy, woe, that what? Ish toiv v'ne'emon, a person who is good and trusted, v'ne'ne mi'egiyoy, and indeed we were the beneficiaries of his toil. Now that sounds quite a lavish hesped, to call somebody a toiv and a ne'emon. So they said to him, in fact, Omruloi imkein mahinachta l'ksherim. So what have you left for kosher people? In other words, if you're giving such a lavish hesped for a mere eved, then what are you supposed to say for somebody who indeed is a kosher person? So they clearly disagreed. But either way, you are right, Rav Ram, the Mishnah told us quite clearly that Tov Yavdoi, Rav Gamliel says, was an exception, and you are allowed to be mekabel tanchumim over an eved like that.
Just a quick question. In this little part, it gives the halacha twice, and it puts a dollar by the second one, by avadim mishvachos, the whole line. Any reason why the Gemara attaches it to the second one, not the first one?
Good question. No idea. Good question. Says the Gemara, we keep moving. The rest of the Gemara, all the way down to the bottom of the Amud, is plain sailing. It's agadaic rather than halachic, which doesn't mean it's easy, because even Gemaras, which are divrei agada, of course, are laden with deep meaning and with a lot of message. But nonetheless, because that's not our main limbs, will try and learn this quicker. Tana Rabbanon ein kairin ovois elo l'shloisha. This is of course very topical as we learn the parashias of the ovois akdoshim. The ovois, that phrase, that terminology ovois, can only be used in reference to three. Which three? Says Rashi, Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, la'afukei shvatim. As opposed to the Shvatim, we do not say Reuven Avinu, Shimon Avinu. We say Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu. That's with regard to the Ovois. Ve'en Koirin Imohois, Eloli Arba, and so to the Imois. Sarah Imenu, Rivka Imenu, Rachel Imenu, Leah Imenu. But we do not refer to anybody else as Imenu. Now, says the Gemara, Ovois my timer. What exactly is the reason that you would not call anybody else, meaning the Shvatim, with the title of Ovois? Why not? Ilema, if you're going to tell me, Mishum, Deloi Yodinon, because we simply do not know, I Meruven Ka'asinon, I Mishimon Ka'asinon, nobody really knows which tribe they came from. We all know that we come from Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. Every Jew, unless he's a convert, every Jew without exception comes from Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. So therefore, we can safely say Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu, because they are Avinu. But we're not going to call Reuven, Reuven Avinu, because you may not be a descendant of Reuven. You don't know which tribe you come from. Problem is, says the Gemara, if that's the reason, Ihochi, Imohis Nami, Lo Yodinon, Imi Rochel Ka'osinon, Imi Leah Ka'osinon, question mark. If you don't know which Shevet you come from, then obviously you don't know which one of the Imois you come from. Yes, you come from, obviously, Sarah and Rivka, but with regard to Rachel and Leah, how can you possibly know who your matriarch is? If you don't know whether you're a descendant of Reuben or Shimon or Levi or perhaps Yosef or Binyamin, then in other words, you don't know whether you come from Rachel or Leah. So if we don't call the Shvatim Avos, why are we calling Rachel and Leah the Imois? So that can't be the reason. Says the Gemara, Elo ad hocha chashivi, comma, tfei loy chashivi. It is not because we do not know from whom we emanate, it is an issue of prominence. The Avos, as we call them, Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, are more chashuv than the Shvatim. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, v'Leah are more chashuv than anybody else. So the reason that we do not call others Imahis is not because we do or don't know where they come from, but rather because they are considered to be less chashuv. Now, of course, when we say a line like that, we have to say it with the utmost care, because we're dealing with people who we have no concept of their greatness, whatever. Imagine if you're standing at the foot of the Empire State Building, and there's another building which is a little next to it. You say, well, I think this one looks a bit taller, a bit shorter. They're so colossal and out of sight, who are we to start measuring which one is bigger or smaller? But the Gemara does say that. So we're allowed to read the words of the Gemara. But it is a difficult concept to understand. But clearly Chazal are teaching us that there was a level of ruchnius that the Avos reached and the Imahos reached, which their descendants, even the next generations, did not.
What about Levi? Because if you were a Levi or even a Kohen, that's where you descended from. So he says, yeah. And he gives you the example of Reuben and Shimon, but they're not talking about Levi. We do know
where we're talking. Right. Firstly, the Gemara fell away from that reason anyway. But even according to the Havamina, you're right. It would only apply to Reuben and Shimon. Somebody who's a Levi wouldn't have acquired it. Although I must be perfectly honest, we're not casting aspersions on any Kohenim who are members of our Shia, no names mentioned. But nowadays, Kohenim and Levim, almost all of them, not all, but many or most of them, are what we call Becheskas Kohen, rather than knowing 100% they are a Kohen. There are a few families, I think there's a famous Rappaport family, they are well known that they have their lineage going all the way back to Aaron HaKohen. So they are not just Becheskas Kohen, we know that they are a Vadei Kohen. But most Kohenim are Becheskas Kohen, it means we assume they're Kohenim because they were told by their father that they're a Kohen, and their father by their father, and their father their father. Do we have any proof? Can we see their shtar, their document of lineage? They don't necessarily have one, but it's a Messiah that is passed down through their family. So they are Becheskas Kohen, which of course raises all types of interesting halachic questions. Because imagine you have an oldest son who you want to do a Pidyon HaBen with. So how can you just merely ask your local Kohen to do the Pidyon HaBen? Maybe in fact he's not a Kohen. How can I give him an aliyah first thing in the morning? How can you do Birkas Kohenim? All the mitzvahs that pertain to Kohenim, they all apply based on this Becheskas Kohen, but it's not more solid than that. Now, if in theory, for example, my wife has a cousin who is in fact called Rappaport, and he's a Kohen. So when my oldest son Yisrael was born 20 years ago, we wanted a Pidyon HaBen. We wanted this cousin, we were in London at the time for the birth, this cousin lived in Switzerland. So we wanted this cousin to fly out to London to do the Pidyon HaBen. In the event, he was unable to do so. It was in the winter, it was a very short, it was on a Friday. So we asked another Kohen, in fact, it was the same Kohen who was paid to me. Rabbi Yosef Marks, you'll know the Kohen. You know Rabbi Joey Grunfeld from England, the head of Seed? So his father. His father was the Kohen who was paid to me, and he was also paid to my oldest son. So in that particular case, we didn't have a choice because the other Kohen was not available. So let's ask the question. If the other Kohen would have been available, the Kohen called Rappaport, and they do have a Shtar Yuchsin going all the way back to Aaron HaKohen, are you therefore obligated midin to ask him rather than another Kohen? If I don't have a choice, I don't have a choice. But anybody who does have a choice, are you necessarily, if Mr. Rappaport walks into shul, are you obligated to give him an aliyah over and above any other Kohen who is just Becheskas Kohen? Now, they do say that the Vilna Goyen, who himself was a Bechoyer, and his father obviously was paid to him at the time, the story is told that the Vilna Goyen, whenever he met a Kohen, he always gave him 5 shkolim, because he was always worried that maybe the previous Kohen with whom he'd done a pidgin aben, in fact, was not a Kohen. Until on one occasion, he met a Kohen called Rappaport, and he gave him the 5 shkolim, and did a pidgin aben again for himself, and after that, he never did it again. Because finally, he was assured that he'd be Mekayim the mitzvah. So again, the question becomes, is everybody mechuyev to do that? Are you mechuyev to find the local Rappaport in your neighborhood? And there are many. And the bottom line is, although it's a big discussion, but I think as we all know, the answer is no, you're not mechuyev. The question is, why not? Why wouldn't you go with a Vadai Kohen as opposed to somebody who is just probably a Kohen? But be it as it may, the halacha is you may give a Kohen the Aliyah, Birkas Kohenim, you machabed him with benching, Pidgin HaBen, all the other mitzvahs of Kohenim, even though we don't necessarily know with full certainty that he's a Kohen. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach, with another brayso. Avodim v'shvachos ein koirin oisam abba ploinim v'ima ploinis. You would not call him father so-and-so or mother so-and-so. Now, what does that mean? Who wouldn't call them that? Anybody or their children? So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Abba Pliny, Ima Plinis. Loi b'bneihem ka'omar. We are not talking about their children. We're not saying that their children shouldn't call them Abba this or Ima this. Rather, Elo b'shar b'nei Adam. Rather with other people. Now, what does it mean, other people? Why would other people call them Abba or Imma? So says Rashi, Ke'ein sha'onu koirim achshav. Similar to the way that we would refer to people nowadays, and we say mar ploini or moras ploinis, kach hayu regilim loima. That's how they used to refer to people, and they used to say, Abba Pliny v'Imma Plinis. Not necessarily the children. So we're not talking about the son of the Eved or the son of the Shifcha. We're talking about generally people. In other words, if it was the norm to refer to them as father this, mother this, that is not a term that you would use for an Eved or a Shifcha. Says the Gemara, Vishal Rabbi and Gamliel, Hoyu Kairim Oysom. They did indeed call them, the Eved and the Shifcha from Gamliel, Abba Plaine, Vaima Plainis, comma. Says the Gemara, Maisa Listair, question mark. What does that mean, Maisa Listair? The story that you bring does not back up, it actually contradicts that which we just said. We just said that you would not call an Eved v'shifcha Abba Plainis v'Ima Plainis, and then you promptly bring me a story in which they did exactly that. That doesn't prove the point, that disproves it. Says the Gemara, Mishum b'chashivi. Again, as we've seen a number of times, the Eved and the Shifcha from Gamliel were particularly prominent, Tovi and the like, And that's why they are the exception to the rule. Okay, let's just read a couple more lines of Gemara together. Says the Gemara, Omer Abeleza Maidik Siv. What is it that's written in the Pasuk? It's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Samon Gimel. Kain Avorechacho B'chaye B'shimcho Eso Kapai, quote unquote. Kain Avorechacho B'chaye, I bless you in my lifetime. That is a reference, Zu Kriyas Shema. B'shimcho Eso Kapai, Zu Tfilo. Eso Kapai means I lift up my hands. Lifting up my hands is always a reference to prayer, as we know full well, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he lifted up his hands. Ve'im oise kein, and if you do so, meaning you are mekayim both Kriya Shema and Tefillah, olav hakosuv oimer, about him the Pasuk says, this is actually in close juxtaposition to the Pasuk we just mentioned, k'moi cholev v'doshen tisba nafshoi. Like milk and fattened delicacies, his nefesh will be satiated. V'loy oid, not only that, in the reward of saying Kriya Shema and Tefillah, not only have you satiated the soul, Elosha Noichel Shnei Oilamim, but you are the worthy inheritor of two worlds. Oilam Azeh v'Oilam Abo Shenema, it says again also in that same perek, V'sfosai, and my lips, Renonois Yahalel P. Rashi says Renonois is Shtaim, it's in the plural, and that's a reference to the fact that you are Zeicha to two worlds. Okay, we'll hold it over here. The rest of the Gemara, all the way back to the bottom of the Amud and going over to the next Amud as well, is all Agada. I'd like to try and do it quickly next time, which will Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach be next week on Sunday morning.
Okay, Shekoach.
Okay, be well, everybody. Feel well. Have a good day.